Hey, want to welcome everybody to Family Mission. We are glad you're part of the conversation today.
That's right. Welcome, everybody.
And we are excited about today's topic.
That's right.
We're going to be talking about the difference between being peaceful and passive.
What does that look like in our lives, right?
You know, but the first thing is, we were talking right before we went live, get comfortable in your workspace.
Yeah, this is a life lesson I learned from my uncle.
That's right.
Today when we're recording, we're sitting in comfort. You can't see us, but we're sitting in comfort right now.
We're very comfortable right now.
Yeah, this is great. We got comfortable in our workspace.
That's right. So we're very relaxed. We hope you are. If you're driving, don't get too relaxed.
That's true. Don't want to do that.
Other than that, man, just enter into the rest of the Lord.
And the peace.
And the peace.
Because comfort and peace, they go hand in hand.
That's right. We're going to be talking a lot about peace today.
That's right, we are. So, again, thank you guys for joining us today. Let's get right into it. What is the scripture you want to kind of hit off? There's a couple scriptures we're going to talk about today, but yeah,
let's get in Colossians 1 here as we begin.
Alrighty.
And this is talking about what was accomplished on the cross, what was accomplished by the shed blood on the cross of Calvary. And let's just read this, Colossians 1:20. This is in the Passion Translation. It says, "By the blood of his cross, everything in heaven and earth is brought back to himself, back to its original intent, restored to innocence again."
That's pretty awesome, isn't it?
Now, in the King James, it actually uses the word peace. It says he has made peace through his cross,
mm-hmm.
you know, reconciling us, making peace between God and man. And so when we talk about the difference between being peaceful and passive, I think the first thing we have to really dig into, Sam, is having peace with ourselves, having peace between us and God. Because if we're going to be a peacemaker, if our relationships are going to have the peace of God flowing in them, if we're going to be as a leader or as a follower, whatever the dynamic of the relationship is, if we're going to be walking in peace, then we first have to really own the peace that God offers us through the cross of Calvary.
That's right. And that's totally, you know, that's a different thing. It's making sure we don't get the cart before the horse,
because
mm-hmm. you can get the cart before the horse so easy in life. It's just like, it's like the number one, pitfall,
yeah.
if you will.
The
enemy will always try to get us to get the cart before the horse.
He gets us aiming for an outcome without creating the ingredients that produce the outcome.
That's exactly, and it's totally a different, it's a different aim, it's a different target, because it's like, again, are you looking for a seed or are you just mm-hmm. looking for a tree?
You know, it's interesting. In Psalm 133, it says, "How blessed it is when brethren dwell together in unity." And then it goes on to say, "It's like the dew that comes down upon the mountains." Now, dew in the morning is the result of certain temperatures, certain moisture levels. In other words, when conditions are a certain way, you don't have to believe for the dew. You don't have to pray for the dew. You just have to have the right conditions, and you're going to have dew in the morning.
And dew's going to be there, yeah.
And same thing is true. You got to have the right conditions for there to be peace, real peace, the peace that comes from God.
And that peace and the conditions are your relationship with Christ.
Yes.
That's like the number one condition is, where are you at with Christ? What's your relationship look like with him?
Mm-hmm. And so another great scripture we can look at, Sam, is in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1.
I'm still in Colossians 1. It's this reality, because continuing, you were formerly alienated
mm-hmm.
and enemies in your mind by your wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. That's what we just said.
Yeah.
It's through Jesus. It's through this relationship with Jesus. You know, that scripture, it says, having made peace with the blood of his cross. Why is the blood of Christ so tied to peace?
Mm-hmm.
What makes the blood so special? What makes it the thing that, you know, you hear a lot of people talk about, well, I plead the blood of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I plead the blood of Jesus. What does it mean to even plead the blood? And why am I pleading the blood? What am I doing by faith when I say, I plead the blood of Jesus.
You're saying, I trust the blood. I trust the power of the blood. I trust what was accomplished by the blood, because it was the innocent. And see, that's what that scripture talked about. We were restored to innocence. That was innocent blood shed for the guilty.
And that goes back to Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to Genesis chapter 9, Noah gets mm-hmm. off the ark, right?
Mm-hmm.
The entire planet has been pretty much wiped clean.
Mm-hmm.
There's just Noah.
Yeah.
And all the animals that he rescued. I don't know why he kept mosquitoes, but here we are.
Thanks, Noah.
Thanks, Noah. Shout out to you. He kept the everything's balanced, right? So we got mosquitoes and everything, but he gets off. And the first thing he does, he applies a sacrifice. He has a sacrifice to mm-hmm. the Lord. And he talks about this. The Lord speaks to him, and the Lord speaks to him something that he really spoke to Adam in the garden, just mm-hmm. be fruitful and multiply. But then he also talks about how the life is in the blood.
Yeah.
He explains, basically, he kind of lays down a rough 10, you know, 10 commandments weren't around mm-hmm. at this time, but just kind of a rough guideline that a lot of the commandments are tied to.
Mm-hmm.
Basically saying, you know, if anyone murders, kills another, blood equal needs mm-hmm. to be, you know, is required to pay that thing.
That's right.
So if I murdered someone or if I kill someone, well, my blood is required to atone for it.
That's right.
And then he says, because life is in the blood. And so when Jesus did what he did, he was literally applying justice
yep.
to the reality that God set mm-hmm. when back in Genesis, the standard, the requirement that was made, you know, if blood is, you know, used mm-hmm. and is defiled,
yep.
then clean blood must be used mm-hmm. to atone to redeem, for that, to redeem.
Right.
And so when Jesus shed his blood, it was innocent blood that also created peace in us. Why? Because it brought us back to
yeah.
innocence.
Amen. And it was, again, the life, like you quoted, the life is in the blood. So in his blood, he's actually given us a life,
mm-hmm.
a life to live and a place to live from. You know, I think, yeah, we should stick here in Colossians just a little bit before we get into Romans. You know, I read verse 20. If you move on down to verse 21, it says, even though you were once distant from him, living in the shadows of your evil thoughts and actions, he reconnected you back to himself, and he released his supernatural peace to you through the sacrifice of his own body
wow.
as a sin payment on your behalf, so that you would dwell in his presence.
That's exactly it right there.
And listen to this. And now there is nothing between you and the Father God. He sees you as holy, flawless, and restored. Now we must continue to advance in faith and assured of this firm foundation and grow upon and never be shaken from the hope of the gospel, which you have now believed. And this is the glorious news that I preach all over the world.
And see, the gospel is tied to, why is my peace tied to what Christ did?
Mm-hmm.
Well, my peace is tied to it, but so should your peace.
Yeah.
You know, so should my neighbor's peace.
Mm-hmm.
Because Jesus, when he worked on the cross, wasn't just for Sam or for
right.
you. It was for everybody. And because it's a done deal, that means everyone technically is under his purchase.
That's right.
Does that make sense?
They just need to know it.
They just need to know it. And that's what the gospel is. The gospel is, hey, you've been redeemed and
yeah.
purchased.
In other words, your sins have been forgiven.
Or, as Luke says, rejoice not
mm-hmm.
that, you know, you have authority over principalities and demons, but rejoice that God has authority over you, the message says.
Yeah.
So having the understanding that I'm literally been purchased.
Yes.
So I have protection.
Yeah.
I have safety.
Yep.
I have, not only am I purchased, but I have a tutor
yes.
that has been given to me
Holy
to direct
Spirit.
Me, Holy Spirit. I literally have everything going for me.
Yeah.
Peace comes whenever I got everything going for
Amen.
Me. I'm not no longer required to pay
yeah.
the purchase. I don't have to pay it. Christ already paid that.
Yeah. Now go back to what you just said. You quoted Luke 10 out of the message.
Yeah, let me pull it up here.
You know, I think sometimes we have the misunderstanding that peace is the absence of conflict or it's the absence of conquest. But we find out that this peace we have with God, it actually came through conquest. It was peace achieved through conquest. Jesus conquered sin and death. Jesus conquered as a man every temptation, every trial, every test. He literally conquered.
Dominated.
And so the peace that is released, like the passion says, he's released this supernatural peace, but it was only available to be released after he conquered. And he conquered not only sin and death, but now he tries to win and conquer our hearts.
He must conquer our hearts.
And read that. That's what it says right there in the
message. Well, it says this, and Jesus, because of the way the message is split up, verse 18 through 20,
right,
says, Jesus said, I know, I saw Satan fall, a bolt of lightning out of the sky. See what I've given you? Safe passage as you walk on snakes, scorpions, and protection from every assault of the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
No one can put a hand on you. All the same, the great triumph is not in your authority over evil, but in God's authority over you.
Hallelujah.
And his presence with you. Now what you do it for God. And what God does for you, that's the agenda for rejoicing. Yeah.
So the great triumph, or you might say the great conquest or the great victory, is what? Not my victory just over Satan and my authority.
Yeah, it's not your authority over evil, but in God's authority over you,
God,
and presence with you. So see, that reality, it realizes that, well, technically God has authority. Jesus has absolute authority over everybody right now.
Yeah.
But you throw free will into this thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the difference comes from. You have the choice to respond. That's why when you read in the beginning of a lot of the letters, you read like James, Paul, he said it, I think, a few times, John, they say a bond slave unto Christ.
That's right.
All right. That verbiage makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's a slave to Christ. Just a bond slave is the one that chose to stay with him.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So that reality makes it where you're just basically convincing, hey, the gospel is the good news that our master that has purchased us, because Christ purchased us, our master is a good master.
Yeah.
Let's go back home. Let's go with him. And then when you get there, it's like the prodigal son. You realize, whoa, I'm not just going to serve.
I'm not just going to work for him.
He's my dad. So not only do I get workers' benefits, I get son benefits.
That's right.
I get the robe put back.
That's right.
On my, on my shoulders. I get the ring. I get, shoes. So understanding that, the joy of the father.
Mm-hmm. That he actually is rejoicing in our return. He's not like, well, you sure made a mess of things. You had your mom and I so worried. he actually rejoiced that his son that was basically dead to him because he was gone. They didn't know where they were.
Mm-hmm.
He just rejoiced in his return.
That's right.
Now, the older brother, of course, is another story, but that's not today's discussion.
Yeah. Well, and you realize that it was the joy of the father.
Mm-hmm.
In Colossians chapter 1, I'm trying to find where it says, but it talks about how it gave the Father, it was his good pleasure that Christ would be made unto us.
Yeah.
All these things.
Yeah.
The reality that was his good pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
God desired that. He wanted that.
Yeah.
It wasn't just him going, well, this kind of needs to be done. No, he enjoyed, he had found pleasure in us being redeemed through Christ being put on the cross.
And that's what Hebrews 12 is talking about when it says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. So this is all about receiving a supernatural peace. When we realize God's intense affection for us, that it wasn't just affection for us, but it was a mission he went on, Father and Son working together to redeem lost sons and daughters.
Yeah.
And he pursued us.
Exactly.
And he accomplished a great peace. See, the gospel, when those, it's not Christmas time, but we can still talk about it. When those angels broke on the scene and those shepherds, they said, good news of great joy has come. Peace among all men.
Among all men. That means...
He came with good tidings of great joy, proclaiming peace. Prince of Peace was born. But he had a job to do, and it was to conquer and to exercise a conquest over. And so this is what we're talking about in this discussion today, the difference between being peaceful and passive. See, a lot of times people substitute passivity and just being passive or avoiding things, avoiding conflict, avoiding uncomfortable situations, thinking that will purchase peace in a relationship. But it's not. We have to confront if something's not healthy, if something's not right, we have to, with love and with peace, confront the conflict, confront the challenge.
And understanding, again, all the discourse we just had was just explaining what peace purchase looked like, what the peace purchase looked like.
Yeah.
You know, countries have, what do you call those, peace agreements,
peace
treaties
accords,
or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. What does that mean? That means we're not gonna go at it. Well, Jesus literally made a peace accord between us and
Hallelujah.
The Father. And that's the gospel we share. But you have to believe on that, and that's where you derive and you pull your peace from. I don't pull my peace from things.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly should not pull my peace from people.
Right.
The Bible says those of you who seek the praises, I think it's the praises of men.
Yeah, John 5:44 says,
yes.
Jesus said to the Pharisees, how can you believe when you seek the praise that comes from men and you're not seeking the praise that comes from God only?
Exactly. Or you could say seeking the peace.
That's right.
Because praise, where does that come from? When you appraise something, what is that? You're describing its value.
Its value.
Okay, well, when God appraised us through Christ, then my level's set.
Yeah.
All right, but if I allow man, my appraisal goes way down because people treat each other just, unfortunately, the flesh is just at this conflict with one another.
It's performance-based.
It's all performance-based.
And it's not identity-based.
Mm-hmm.
See, Jesus really knows who we are. That's why he was willing to pay the price. When he said on the cross, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. In other words, you could say it this way, Father, forgive them. They don't see what I see about them. They don't know what I know about them. But because I know who they really are, and because I know their true identity, this blood I'm shedding, this life that's being laid down, this sacrifice that's being made is worth it. And I hope somebody receives that here today. You need to know you're worth it.
You are worth his peace.
Amen.
In other words, that peace that surpasses all understanding. In other words, it's not a peace based off of performance.
That's right.
Based off a situation. It's a peace based off of God valued me enough.
Mm-hmm.
God, all that he's done, his goodness, that's what you pull off of that. You meditate on those things, and you allow those things to matter the most in your life, and you allow those to be where your peace comes from.
Yeah.
When I know I have the creator of the entire entire universe, like cosmos that is still currently expanding, billions of stars. You know how powerful a star is? I couldn't even stand next to our sun, and it is a small star. We would literally, the earth, the planet we're on would melt if it got closer.
Yeah.
Like just like in heat, right? So that's a small star, the power that's coming from that small star, right? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have millions and billions of stars. Plenty that are 100,000 times as big as this star. And then you realize all of those stars don't even compare all of that power, raw power. Just let your mind go there for a minute. All
there.
That raw power doesn't even touch the power that is Father God.
Yeah.
The authority, the dominion. And that dominion reached down to me.
Yeah. And says, I want to make peace.
I want to make peace.
Yes, you're my enemy. Like Romans 5:10 says, if while we were enemies, God reconciled us, he accomplished peace through conquest. He conquered the sin we couldn't conquer. He conquered the rebellion we couldn't get free from. He conquered the addiction. He conquered the temptation. He conquered and achieved peace and then handed it to us as a gift if you'll just receive it by faith.
That's right.
Wow, thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
And that's the good news,
that
man.
Is the
and
good
that,
news.
And that good news fuels your everyday. That keeps you in a sustained peace.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to make sure that that's what we're feeding on every day.
Yeah.
If I feed on certain things, you'll forget that as quick as you forgot what you ate for breakfast last week.
Yeah.
I mean,
you know that verse,
really?
I just quoted Romans 5:10. If you read it in the Amplified, it's really good. It says, not only if while we're enemies, did he reconcile us? That verse goes on to say in the Amplified, if he did that for us while we were his enemies, then how much more will he daily deliver us from sin's dominion? So there's a daily deliverance available. I mean, if he did that great work on the cross, then he's going to now come into our everyday walk and make sure that victory, that peace through conquest, is a peace that we walk in every single day.
Okay.
What?
I'm blown away right now.
It's just amazing.
And you think about whenever, that really changes whenever you're singing, oh God, you're so good. It's not just a, I mean, it's like literally, God, you are so good. Like nothing, no one can even compare to that.
Yeah.
When you realize, and then you realize, I can't stand in God's presence unless I'm good like him.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus said, don't worry.
Don't worry.
I got you.
I'm going to make that possible.
That's why it's important that we know Jesus.
Yeah.
Because Jesus said, there's only one way to the Father. It's me.
Yeah.
There's only one. And how do I know Jesus? Well, I enter into covenant with him.
Mm-hmm.
I accept his proposal.
Yeah.
Which his proposal is the good news. I've
That's
bought
right.
you. I've redeemed you. It's finished.
Believe what happened on the cross.
I accept it. Believe it by faith. And then I continue by faith after receiving Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
right? I'm now working with Holy Spirit and with the finished work of Christ.
Yes.
And I'm walking out to the wedding day whenever he comes again.
Hallelujah.
And, you know, you come, the bride, the church comes and we get to meet him.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we're expecting. That's the hope of glory. In other words, we're pushing into that mm-hmm. every day. And that's what fuels, again, all these things are fueling each other.
Yeah.
The peace, the hope, the faith, the truth, the goodness.
Yeah.
All these things are all like catalysts or ingredients
mm-hmm.
that literally fuel the walk of someone who's been born again.
Amen.
And to be born again means I'm a new creation. And we hadn't even got to the fact that I'm literally, my spirit's brand new.
Yeah, brand new. Restored to innocence
again. Brand new.
Yeah.
That's, you don't have to try to buff out the wrinkles. You just got to not let them, you know,
that's
not
right.
let the enemy say, you know, you don't let them bring up something that's been killed.
That's right.
That's why baptism.
Yeah.
What the peace that he made through the blood of his cross.
Yeah.
I mean, all these things. And then again, let's get into passiveness because we're talking about peace,
mm-hmm.
but we need to talk about not letting passiveness get, you know, we need to define the difference.
It's a poor substitute. It's like exchanging brass for gold.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you might buy a few moments of so-called peace by being passive and just, you know, not ruffling the feathers, not speaking, you know, what you really feel, and you're passive towards it, or you don't want to deal with it, you don't want any conflict, you don't want to handle the difficult situation with your child or with your wife or your husband or the coworker or your pastor or your parishioners, whatever the dynamic is. Avoidance is never good. You sweep it under the rug, it's not shrinking. It's only going to grow. And so what we need to look at, though, is I want to continue with what it said there in Colossians 1. And this is the process. This is the journey of not being passive, but being peaceful. But you got to press into it. And there's a journey in it. Here's something I wanted to highlight and talk about with you, Sam.
Yes.
As you go into verse 21 and 22, it says, even though we were once distant from him, living in the shadows of our evil thoughts and actions. That phrase, living in the shadows, it made me think about a prayer that the psalmist prayed in Psalm 139, where David was, of course, this is incredible. David had a reputation. He had a testimony with God.
Wow.
When he was anointed by Samuel, God said, I'm rejecting Saul because I have found David to be a man after my own heart.
That's huge.
I mean, to have God say, and God's testimony of you, to say, he's a man after my own heart. He's a person after my own heart. That's David's testimony. And not only is David's testimony that, David was even marked as the marker in the legacy and lineage of Messiah.
Of Jesus.
Jesus is called the son of
David.
David. So think about what David's praying here. This worshiper, this psalmist of God, this man that God testified of.
What psalm are you in again?
I'm in Psalm 139.
Psalm 139.
And I'm going to read verse 23 and 24. It says, God, I invite you to search and to gaze into my heart and to examine me through and through. Find out everything that may be hidden within me. Put me to the test. Sift through all my anxious cares. See if there's any path of pain that I'm walking on.
Yeah.
And lead me back to you, to your glorious everlasting ways, the path that brings me back to you.
That's awesome.
So He invited God. And this is how we actually walk out this peace we're talking about. Yes, it was purchased on the cross. Yes, it was a finished work. But there are steps we have to take every day allow Holy Spirit, who is the counselor, who's the one who's going to cause the word to be made flesh, that amazing promise we just read about, for that to become our experience. We're going to have to let God get down in our business. We're going to have to let him search out our motives. We're going to have to let him, I like how this says it in the Passion, let him sift through all our anxious cares.
Yeah.
Now, if you have anxious cares or anxiety or worry or fear, that's the absence of peace. In other words, let him get in our business and see where we're not walking in peace. See, in fact, I heard it said this way one time. Let me get that out right. You're only as big as the smallest thing that annoys you.
Oh, wow.
Now think about that. Well,
that's like a pillow quote. Put that on a pillow.
You're only as big
or a poster.
As the smallest thing that annoys, because what annoys you is evidence of your peace being chipped away. Your peace has
You're not stronger than that.
Exactly.
Hey everyone, it's Sam here. Just a short little interruption, just a little pause to the program. I want to let you know how to get in touch with us. We're so thankful that you guys listen to the show and that you want to stay in contact with us. So the easiest way you can do that is to email us. You can email us at spellmanministries@gmail.com. That is SPELLMAN ministries@gmail.com. Also, you can message us on any of our social medias. You can message us on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter. You can look up Spellman Ministries on all of those platforms and find us. You can always DM us on any of those platforms. So let's get right back into the conversation about peace versus passivity.
If there's something that can take your peace, that's your measure of strength.
Like your kryptonite.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah. And so, Holy Spirit, he doesn't want us to avoid those things. God doesn't want us to avoid those things. Just like when God came to Adam and Eve in the garden, he come walking in. He knew what had went on.
Absolute truth, by the way.
Absolute light.
Epitome. The just maximum, total,
truth.
Complete truth.
No deception in him.
No
guile in him.
Nope.
He comes walking in and pure love, pure peace, pure light. But notice what he does. He confronts what went wrong.
Yeah.
He doesn't act like nothing happened.
No.
He doesn't sweep it under the rug.
He was not passive.
He was not passive. See, we're just trying to just unpack this because there's a false peace the world puts out there, and it's passiveness. God doesn't want us to be passive.
It's a passive and like an all-acceptingness. Mm-hmm. You know, this is something that, you know, I believe it's connected to the Antichrist.
Mm-hmm.
It's
absolutely.
It's this idea that it's a fake, it's a fraud.
Mm-hmm.
Because God is absolute authority.
Yeah.
You can't have peace and not have authority.
Yeah.
Because something's got to be, everything's got to be right.
Yeah.
Everything's got to be holy. Mm-hmm. Everything's got to be exact for true peace to be involved.
Yeah.
And that's got to be the case. But this idea of, you know, just kind of accepting everything, mm-hmm. allowing everything to be, you know, it's okay. This
you
is
you have
fine.
Your truth. I have my truth.
See, that just the simple idea of you having your truth and my having my, that doesn't work.
It doesn't.
Because then there's no unity.
Mm-mm.
You can't have unity and you have your truth and me have my truth. Something's going to differ.
How could you play a game like a ball game if everybody who shows up who's a player? They have their own set of rules.
Oh, that's good.
Now, how crazy.
How do you know who wins? How do you know who loses?
Exactly. If you call a foul, you say, no, not, that's not a foul on my rules.
And then the next guy goes, well, it's not a foul on mine. But then, oh, it's a foul on mine. And then what? You got strife?
It's insanity.
You got,
to think
exactly.
that you can just show up with your own set of rules, and this is how we're going to play the game. And then it's just, you know, before long, everybody's going to be so frustrated, and they're all just going to walk off the team and fight over the ball. Who gets the ball? I mean, because they tried to show up and play a game where every player had their own set of rules.
That's called anarchy.
That's anarchy.
Literally, it's called anarchy.
But we have a rule book.
Thankfully.
Yes, we do.
And see, this is so powerful because, again, that passiveness leads to everyone having their own, not just their own truth, but their own set of rules. I really like the way you said that. Their own guidelines to life. This is how I live my life. These are the things that bug me. These are the things that don't. And then, you know, you might find some people that have a couple similar ones and you can kind of group up. But then the Bible says grouping and collections of one another is actually a work of the flesh.
It's not a work you realize, of the spirit.
Well, and then the Bible says to worship God, you worship in spirit and in truth. So I can't worship him in my little group or my little sect, but I have to worship him out of the spirit of love, the spirit of Christ, and my spirit connecting with truth, with Christ, and then worshiping, which worship is agreement, partnership, and there's a third thing, man.
It's intimacy.
Intimacy, there you go.
Agreement and partnership.
Intimacy, agreement, partnership.
That's right.
So to be intimate with truth, I have to agree. I have to... You know, I have to push into that. But I really like what you said about that rule, but because that eliminates, I can't be passive if the rules are being broken.
That's right.
If someone's, that's why we got umpires. Holy Spirit, the Bible even says in some translations, calls them an umpire.
Yeah, Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace, and it's what we're talking about, let the peace of God rule in your heart as umpire. Let God's peace call the shots, saying this is right or that's a foul. That's outside of the bounds.
Yeah.
So again, back to the garden, God comes walking in and he's going to confront what went wrong.
This is so good.
He's not going to be passive about it. He's going to confront it and he's going to confront it in love. He's going to confront it in peace, but he's going to confront it. He's going to talk to Adam. He's going to talk to Eve. So he starts asking questions.
Yeah.
And you know the story. Before, first of all, he had to find them as if they were unfindable.
Yeah.
But he called out for them. But the point is they were hiding.
He's given opportunity to respond. See, whenever God's asking a question or he's saying something, it's not that he doesn't know. It's for my heart.
It's for your benefit.
It's for me to respond.
Yeah.
He's throwing, it's like he's throwing a life, what do you call it? Those little buoy things.
Yeah,
out.
A lifeline.
He's throwing one of those out for me to respond to.
So... Here's the thing that we see, and I'll just give you the three things real quick, or four. Don't run, don't hide, don't cover, and don't blame.
Yeah.
I mean, that's basically what happened that Adam and Eve did. They were running, they were hiding.
They covered with fig leaves.
They covered with fig leaves. They tried to provide their own covering. But
then they blamed one another.
And they blamed each other. I mean,
it's the woman you
other.
Gave me. Well, it was a snake.
Yeah.
The blame game.
Of the blame game. So here's the thing. Peace is not accomplished by any of those methods.
Oh, that's good.
So you don't try to avoid. In other words, peace is the full redemptive process. See, God brought peace through redemption.
Say that again. That is so good.
Peace is the full redemptive process.
That's another pillow quote. That's so good. I'm like, I'm eating this up over here. That's so good. The full redemptive process.
And that's why Proverbs 29:18 says we need to have a redemptive revelation of God, because if we don't, we'll cast off restraint. We'll just start making our own rules. But when we realize God is really pursuing redemption, and yes, he might confront something. Yes, he might have to judge something. He might have to deal with something, but it's only because of love and redemptive purposes, which is peace. He wants to bring peace.
Man.
He wants to restore peace. But here's the thing. We all have ways we try to cover things up. We all have ways we try to avoid. And passiveness is one of those big avoidance things.
Yeah.
You know, but here when you have psychologists who study the fallen man, they have a term they call passive aggressive.
They do have a term called
so
that.
So what is that? That just simply means, well, someone, you know, they have a situation they don't like. They don't like how it's going. They have a different opinion. They got maybe some bad feelings about it, but they're not going to say anything. They're going to be passive. So they just kind of stuff their anger, their disappointment, their frustration.
Disagreement.
Their differing opinion. They just hold back. They're passive. Well, that only holds for a little while because it's under the surface. And now somewhere
it didn't
else.
Go away.
It does not go away because somewhere else, something's going to trigger what they just stuffed. And they're going to get real aggressive over there in that other arena, because what they stuffed is still there. So this is
why... The disappointment, the whatever.
So this is why we can't cover. This is why we can't hide. We can't avoid. We definitely can't blame.
Because reconciliation doesn't let you cover. It pulls it out and deals with it.
That's
right. It kills it off.
Exactly.
Literally, Jesus had to die. The Lord, God had to kill off.
Yes.
End it.
End it.
Kill it off.
Yeah.
So that way it couldn't come back.
So I love this prayer. In fact, you know, I'm going to read through this again, but how about we offer it as a prayer?
Yeah.
Let's just join together in this conversation today. And by the way, we're so glad that you're a part of Family Mission. We're glad you're listening today. But I'm going to read through verse 23 and 24 again in the Passion, and we're going to let what David prayed as a worshiper of God, we're just going to invite you into the very same prayer, and let's invite the searching gaze of God. So right now, God, we pray, and we invite your searching gaze into our heart. We ask you to examine us through and through. We want to find out if there's anything hiding within us. Put us to the test and please sift through all our anxious cares. We want to see if there's any path of pain that we're walking in. And we want you to lead us back to your glorious and your everlasting ways, that path that brings us back to you.
Thank you, Jesus.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
So be it.
Amen. So that's what, you know, this is something you could pray every day. You could go to Psalm 139, verse 23, verse 24. If you're recognized, hey, I've got some anxious cares, Holy Spirit wants to help us.
And see, I really like the end that says that path, that falling, in other words, the way, right?
Yes.
Another word for way is law.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you read, there's Psalms 19, verse 7. There's a little section there, Psalms 19, 7, says this, the law of the Lord is perfect in converting the soul.
Mm-hmm.
The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple.
Hallelujah.
The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart or creating joy in the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure and it's enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean and enduring forever. And the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether.
That's so good. Listen to that. That same section. Listen to it in the Passion.
Mm-hmm.
God's word is perfect in every way. How it revives our souls. His laws lead us to truth, and his ways change the simple into wise. His teachings make us joyful and radiate his light. His precepts are so pure. His commands, oh, how they challenge us to keep close to his heart. The revelation light of his word makes my spirit shine radiant. Every one of the Lord's commands is right. Following them brings cheer. Nothing, he says, ever needs to be changed.
Exactly. See, isn't that amazing?
Yes.
And so you tie that into the ways.
Mm-hmm.
All of those things, it's bringing, well, what do the ways of the Lord do? Mm-hmm. It's perfect in restoring.
Yeah.
And governing the soul.
Yeah.
And converting the soul and causing the soul to know, and not just our spirit. See, our spirit's born again.
Mm-hmm.
The thing a lot of times we battle is our soul.
Yeah.
Because our soul has different inputs coming on it. We got the world trying to speak to us.
Yeah.
We got demonic influence trying to speak to us. And we have Holy Spirit and the Word of God trying to speak to us.
Mm-hmm.
We have our natural surroundings, our body trying to speak to us.
Yep.
So the soul's kind of like this battleground where there's a lot of, it's a connector to a lot of different things.
Yeah.
And so having our soul being aligned and where our soul goes in, so our souls, our heart, our will, our mind, and our emotions.
Mm-hmm.
So allowing that to be like dead on.
Yeah.
We have
at
to allow
peace.
For it to be at peace, we have to allow the perfect, in other words, unchanging, exact, there's nothing that's exact except for this. This is the only, like, this is the, all exactness aligns with this.
Yeah.
All things align with this is the law of the Lord.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
It's perfect.
It's complete.
Yeah. Amen.
And so allowing that, that's just that. And then knowing that how do I achieve it? Like you said, it's daily bringing it. But even there, then you have 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm going to read a couple verses in this section because I want to highlight what is said here. It says, or do you not know that though who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For as it is written, the two shall become one flesh. That's back in Genesis.
Right.
When a man and a woman come together, they become one flesh. So literally, they become one. Okay. Verse 17, but he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. So he says, flee from sin. The person commits. So he continues, says, do you not know, verse 19, that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, who you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Amen. So glorify God with your body.
Amen.
Okay, so he's bringing that. But that's the reality. How do I get close enough to God? How do I achieve his perfect ways? Mm-hmm. I'm not perfect. You and I know that, you know, the Bible says all have fallen short.
That's right.
In other words, but my future doesn't have to be me falling short.
Mm-hmm.
My destiny is I'm actually every single day realigning my soul, mm-hmm. my body to the perfect will of God. Every day, the blood of Jesus aligns through. It gives me grace to turn around.
Amen.
It gives me space to turn around. And then being in covenant with Jesus, in other words, I'm one spirit with him. In the same way, he's paralleling here, Paul parallels in Corinthians between a man and a woman
mm-hmm.
coming together. They literally become one physically and in their thoughts.
Yeah.
Whenever you get married, I mean, you become one, because whenever you become one with each other, it's not just a physical thing, but in your brain, in your mind, in your soul, in your thoughts, the way you think, the way you do things,
mm-hmm.
you literally become like a one unit.
Yeah.
That's what he talks about when two become one flesh.
Yeah.
So then for me to be one spirit with God,
yeah,
that's the grace. That's the connector.
That's the connector. And that releases, like we opened the program today, that's the release of God's supernatural peace.
Yeah.
You know, 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, because of the blood that was shed, we can all draw close to him with the veil removed from our faces.
Wow.
And with no veil, we all become like mirrors who brightly reflect the glory of the Lord Jesus. And we are being transfigured into his very image as we move from one brighter level of glory to another. And this glorious transfiguration comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit.
Wow.
So that peace that Jesus walked in, we get to walk in. When he said, I am the way, the truth, the life, that means I'm going to show you the truth about this life,
yeah.
and I'm going to show you the way to live this life.
And the veil's removed. I really like that illustration, because you go back to marriage. What happens? Well, when a woman comes down, she's got a veil.
Mm-hmm.
But then whenever things are finalized, the veil is lifted and removed. So the veil being removed, and the veil was torn in the temple.
That's right.
From top to bottom, God removed the veil was covering humanity. Because mm-hmm. Gentiles and Jews is both.
Yeah.
He removed the veil that was keeping us from being intimate with God.
Yeah.
In other words, being able to do as he does, follow mm-hmm. him. We weren't able to be intimate. Christ came
so that
we could be intimate with God again, where Adam lost that intimacy through sin,
mm-hmm.
through deception. Christ gained it as the last Adam.
Amen.
He reconnected, again, back to the words we've already been using.
Yeah.
He restored, brought everything back to himself.
Amen.
1 Corinthians, or excuse me, Colossians 1:20
mm-hmm.
brings things back to himself.
Amen.
Reconciled.
Hallelujah. So with Jesus being our example, we follow him. He said, come, follow me. He said in Matthew 11, come to me and learn from me. If you're burned out, if you're heavy burdened, you don't have any peace, he said, come to me, learn from me. I'm meek. That does not mean he's weak. He was conquering. He's not
That's
weak.
Right.
He's meek. He's humble. He said, you will find rest. That's peace. You'll find peace for your souls. But it's only going to be if we follow him. And this is why I think one of the great examples we can finish with here today.
He creates peace because he ain't weak.
Exactly.
I'm thinking, like, I just had like a flashback to, if you've ever, when you read Revelation, because you should read Revelation.
Absolutely.
Revelation says a revelation of, it doesn't say just Revelation. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ. Okay. So Revelation is talking, pointing all to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You read, and it talks about his hair being so white, his feet fire bronze.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's dominion, man. If he's walking, his feet are on fire like hot coals.
Yeah.
And out of his mouth, he's got a sword. And he's, I mean, you talk about the descriptors.
Yeah.
He doesn't sound like just a weak little scrawny guy.
No.
He's not.
Because he's bringing peace.
He's bringing peace.
He's bringing peace through conquest.
Didn't it say out of the throne of God, when it talks, the seals are getting ready to happen. Mm-hmm. And John, you know, they're weeping. John starts being like, who's going to do this?
Yeah.
And he says, therefore, then it says a lion was in the throne, and then a lamb came out.
Actually,
how does that
mean? It says he looked into the throne, and out from the throne, a lamb walked out.
Yes.
And the words came, behold, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. He's
exactly.
looking at a lamb. A lamb walks out of the throne.
But yet he's still the
but
words.
But he says, behold, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah has prevailed. So but this is, again, this is how peace was brought to us, so that peace could be offered as a gift. So through simple and innocent childlike faith, we can receive a gift of peace with God, that we can begin walking in every day and bring that peace into our circumstances, bring that peace into the storms of life. And that's what we're going to finish with on today's program in Mark chapter 4, bringing peace into the storms. See, what happened for the disciples, they were, of course, with him, following him. They got in the boat, they got on the sea, and verse 37 of Mark 4, there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, and it was filling up, and in the hinder part, the back of the boat, Jesus was asleep on a pillow, and they had to awaken him and say to him, Master, don't you care that we're perishing? And he arose, and he rebuked the wind. And he spoke to the sea, and he said, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And then he said to his disciples, Why are you so fearful? You could say, Why'd you lose your peace? Where'd your peace go, fellas?
Yeah.
Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? See, faith is evidenced by joy and peace. Romans 15:13, God of all hope, fill you with joy and peace in believing. There's a peace that accompanies believing. So he says, how is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, saying, Whoa, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the seas obey him?
And the simplicity, that's so good.
Yeah.
The wind and the seas. I don't want to let that impact. The wind and the seas, who's this man?
Yeah.
The wind and seas obey him. And you read it, how do I believe?
Yeah.
Well, thankfully Micah gave us a little touch.
What's Micah have to say?
Micah says in Micah 6:8, it says, you know, he has told you, oh man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you? So again, that's something, you know, how do I please the Lord?
Mm-hmm.
How do I, you know, he's given me this gift. How do I give him back? You know, how do I give back to him?
Yeah.
How do I, you know, I've received this gift. Now I want to give back. I want to respond to this wonderful, eternity he's given me. Mm-hmm. I want to respond to this. But what do I give him?
I mean, you can say thank you, and that's appropriate. But sometimes, I'm sure you're feeling it today. I mean, when you realize the magnitude of what Jesus did, it is good to say thank you. That's a starting point. But you have in your heart a desire to respond in so much more meaningful ways than the simple words, thank you.
Exactly.
So how can you respond? What can you do?
He says this, what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. That's
how
you say thank you. That's
with
how
your
you,
actions.
And see, what did we talk about today? Walking with Christ and in truth.
Mm-hmm.
And in justice.
That's right.
That's walking, that's doing justice.
Amen.
And loving the mercy and freely giving the mercy that we've received, the forgiveness that we've received. That's
freely
loving.
Freely we've received, freely we give it.
That's us loving kindness.
Mm-hmm.
That's us being compassionate and walking humbly with God is just every single day.
Yeah.
That's walking with him. Taken every day like Adam walked in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
We walk with Jesus. We walk with Holy Spirit in a place of humility, a place of meekness like Christ. He said in Matthew 11, my burden is easy. My yoke is light. You know, walk with him, follow him throughout life.
Now, this is one of the points of armor in Ephesians 6, and we'll close with this. in Ephesians 6, he's giving the armor of God. And one of the elements of the armor of God is called the shoes of peace.
There you go. The shoes
in other words,
of peace.
Just walking in the peace of God is you wearing armor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is how powerful this peace is. The peace, like in Mark 4, peace is not the absence of a storm. Peace is the dominance in the midst of the storm. Peace
go.
Is the conquest in the midst of the trials and the storms. You know, and like
it's a
you read.
Pillow quote. Peace is the dominance in the storms, man. That was like raw. The dominance. That's so good, man. Oh my.
But that is what it
wow.
is. And those
Christ's
are the shoes of
in
peace.
The storm. His dominance in the storm.
His dominance. He did that storm didn't dominate him. He dominated it and he did it with peace.
Did it with
he
love,
released,
did it with truth.
Exactly.
Wow.
And so hopefully today's conversations maybe just kind of opened up your thoughts to maybe make a better distinction between what the world defines as peace through passivity versus what the Bible talks about when it talks about peace, God's peace. How's it accomplished?
How it was accomplished, how it was
how
purchased.
How it was released, how it was purchased, how do we walk in it? Obviously, this is way too big of a discussion to go much further with, but boy, we've had a great time talking with you today about peace versus passivity.
That's right. So, I mean, just let this settle in your heart mm-hmm. and in your soul today. And we just want to thank you so much for listening to Family Mission, the Family Mission podcast. We enjoy having these conversations. And, you know, I hope you stayed comfortable
mm-hmm.
while you listened to this. We're staying comfortable.
That's right.
We're doing good. But we want to let you know if there's any way you want to get in contact with us. Of course, the easiest way for you to get in contact with us mm-hmm. is to email us at SpellmanMinistries@gmail.com.
That's right.
You can check out our social medias. You can search up Spellman Ministries on Facebook, Twitter, and on Instagram. Mm-hmm. You can follow us on there. And you can check out our website
SpellmanMinistries.org.
That's right. So we want to leave you with this blessing.
May
the Lord bless you. May he keep you.
May
he make his face to shine upon you and lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.